This is Allen Robinson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Let's go ahead and get started with the scuttlebutt on the upcoming draft that is occurring in only 2 days. Less than 3 days, somewhere in between, technically. Shedeur Sanders, is he out of the first round? Some say yes. I mean, we've talked about this before. We've talked about the possibility of Shedeur Sanders falling out of the first round. You know, and to me, it doesn't really matter. In fact, I've spoken about the possibility of Sanders falling out of the first round actually being a boon for Sanders. It's in the sense that first round comes with a lot of weight. It comes with a lot of pressure. I mean, you're drafted in the first round. You are expected to produce and produce early. You don't draft someone in the first round and, you know, have them sit. I mean, at least that's not what you want. You want them to come in and produce day one or at least, you know, a few games into the season. But Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer, see, I was thinking about pronouncing Breer and worrying about that when I should have just, you know, focused on each previous word. Anyways, he believes there's a chance Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders could fall out of the first round of the draft. Him and a lot of other pundits. In Breer's case, this is strictly based on things he has heard through the offseason, but the SI Insider reports that the Giants, who currently hold the number three pick, have had ups and downs with Sanders. We know this. We know that they've been hot on Sanders. They've been cold on Sanders. They've been somewhere in between. And I think they're somewhere in between still. Throughout the pre-draft process, and even predicts the Giants won't be taking him at number three. I don't think they will. You know, you have Russell Wilson. You have Jameis Winston. That'll bridge the gap. I think they are more in line to take, you know, someone like a Jalen Milroe over Sanders. You know, a quarterback who is a prototypical, or more of a prototypical build of a quarterback who's more of a developmental prospect he can bring up slowly. If the Giants don't take Sanders with the third pick, the Saints at number nine would be the next most logical landing spot. But Breer says he'd be pretty surprised if the Saints took him. I would be too, at least in the first round. I think the Saints have the number 40 pick as well. And if Sanders is there, I think they take him. But I don't think they take him with their first pick. And while another team trading up for Sanders is always a possibility, I don't really see it happening. The only team late in the draft who's in need of a quarterback is Pittsburgh. It was reported earlier that the Steelers really like Sanders, but they may become the difference between Sanders being drafted in the first round or slipping into the second. I think he'll probably slip into the second. And I think that's okay. Roster Watch Nation chiming in. The Hairy Snowman, welcome to the chat. Roster Watch Nation, unite. We have to. Harry Snowman, there isn't a quarterback in this class that deserves a first-round grade. Facts. You know, it's all relative, you know? Compared to last season or the season before that, probably not. But, you know, it's all relative. What does the team need? What does the team now need now? Yeah, speaking objectively, this isn't a really strong quarterback class. But if we're just talking about teams needing quarterbacks and teams and just, you know, the way that the NFL works, And the way that it's the copycat league, and everybody wants that Daniels. Everybody wants little of that Daniels action. They want to replicate it. You know, and in order to do that, they feel like, hey, maybe I need to go after a guy in the first round, one of these prospects with potentially high upside. Yeah, it's all the quarterback should be sitting at least a year. Quarterbacks drafted in the first round start first year more times than not. It's true. None of these prospects are ready to lead an NFL team. You know, I would agree in most aspects. I do think that Cam Ward has a shot out of the gate. I do think he could be a special player. I do think he could handle a team like Tennessee out of the gate. I think for me, it's Ward, and I think maybe Tyler Shaw, just because Tyler's going to be 26 when the season starts. He's an older quarterback. Maybe more. He's definitely more seasoned. Maybe more NFL ready than those other quarterbacks. I could potentially see Shaw coming in and starting somewhere in year one and it working out okay. But for me, it's Ward and Shaw. Everybody else, I think, needs to cook a little longer. Shedeur Sanders equals Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart played in the league a long time. I mean, I do think it was kind of a fallacy that how long did it take Cordell Stewart's jersey to be retired in Colorado? A long time. And Shedeur Sanders, it was right away. That was a little rough for my man, Cordell. And I remember him. He was electric in college. He was something else. Harry's vocal this morning. Cam Ward is going to be forced to pass out of the pocket. Possibly. But I do think of this group of quarterbacks, Ward, I think, is the closest thing. The best combination of upside and NFL readiness. Then youth. Sanders, I mean, the more you look at him, the more imperfections and possible problems you find. It's like looking at a diamond under a microscope. You know, from the outset, you know, far away, hey, this looks great. I'll take it. You know, you get close to that microscope and start to see all the little imperfections that exist, that occur naturally. But it's still a diamond, you know. Don't get me wrong. And Sanders can still be really good in the NFL. It's just that he seems like he could be a liability. Smaller quarterback, you know, likes, I mean, and if they let him be who he is as a quarterback, you know, a guy who wants to make plays, who wants to be like his dad, a playmaker, you know, I don't think he's going to be like a Daniels, content to just kind of stand back there, go through his reads, make the shrewd decision every time. I mean, I think that is Daniels' best asset, is just, he is kind of boring anyway. You know, he's a great athlete, but he's content to just go through his reads, make the right one, you know, go for the 8-yard pass instead of the 18 one. Happy to do that. And just keep matriculating the ball down the field. You know, something unflappable about him. Something he doesn't get worked up. He doesn't, He doesn't need to make the big play. He doesn't need to be the hero. And in the process, he becomes the hero. Love that guy, even though he plays for the Commanders. Jalen Milroe reportedly on the Raiders' radar. Say that five times fast. And could go in the late first round of the NFL draft. HornetsNFL.com. I mean, this is another situation like the Giants where I think teams are kind of seeing Milroe as a better prospect potentially because you have a guy in Geno Smith who can bridge the gap, who can bring Milroe under his tutelage, coach him up, teach him his wise ways. And Milroe just, you know, built to be more of an NFL quarterback. Milroe worked for a lot of teams who have a current quarterback to bridge the gap and bring him along. And then you got this big body who can toss the ball down the field, just fling it. You know, who can coach up. Less of a liability than Sanders under center. During Sunday's episode of Sports Center, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported that the Las Vegas Raiders, I know, are on Milroe's radar because they have Geno Smith. Fowler added that the Raiders would be a team he would love to go to slide behind Smith for a couple of years and learn. You know, I'm saying. Miller's a polarizing quarterback, maybe the most polarizing prospect in the class. I mean, he's like Anthony Richardson in a lot of ways. Just the intangibles are just so enticing. You want that guy on your team. You want to see what he can do. You want that shiny new toy. Got immeasurable upside. But issues with his accuracy, like Richardson. You know, is a team ready to take another chance on a player like Richardson after we've seen what's gone on with Richardson? You know, and Richardson still, I don't think, has gotten a full chance to really fail, to try and fail for a whole season in the NFL. The Colts still don't know if he's their guy. You know, it's been a couple of years now. They still don't know if he's their guy because they never give him the chance to just completely fall on his face and work his way back from it. Which I think you need to do if you want to find out if the guy is your guy. Instead, they bring a guy like Daniel Jones to compete with him, and then you have another season probably where you don't really get a good enough look at Richardson to know if he's the guy or not, you know?
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
As far as the Raiders are concerned, Harrison, I'm going to have a guy like Pete Carroll, who's a quarterback whisperer, historically. I mean, I think he's just kind of a whisperer in general. Pretty soft-spoken guy. And that guy does not age. I feel like he's close to 80. Still looks better than most NFL coaches. Makes Andy Reid look geriatric. Yeah, I can see the Raiders taking Milroe. And like I said, I think that a lot of teams who already have a good quarterback situation, a pretty stable quarterback situation, probably see Milroe as a safer bet than Shador Sanders. And he just might be. Someone who is universally loved by the teams going into the draft. Ohio State receiver Mika Egbuka, according to Peter Schrager of ESPN, along with linebacker Jalen Walker out of Georgia, the two players have reportedly won the interview process. I didn't know it was a contest. With their character and talent, Schrader adds that you will not find a coach or GM who doesn't just rave about both young men. Egbuka was a three-year starter at Ohio State, averaged 2.61 yards per route run. Could be a guy. Could be the first receiver taken in the draft. I mean, there's an argument. You know, he's probably in the top three. Him, McMillan, and Golden on a lot of people's boards. That interview process could take him over the top, push him over the top. You ever see that movie? But Egbuka, I think, you know, because of his character and because, you know, his upside is there, it's palpable. Any team would probably be happy to take him. I mean, the highest I think he could go, maybe to Dallas. They missed out on Genty. I mean, Golden so fast, you know, 4.29, and apparently his ankle was injured. But I feel like the Cowboys need a little bit bigger of a receiver. I mean, Egbuka's not massive, but he's over 6 foot, 6'1", 202 pounds, good size. And he has met with the Cowboys in a pre-draft visit. Met with the Packers as well. You know, and the knock against Egbuka being taken, though, by the Cowboys with their first pick is that the Cowboys already have a slot receiver in CeeDee Lamb, have the slot receiver in CeeDee Lamb. And Egbuka played 73% of his snaps out of the slot. He's big enough to play outside, though. And he could transition outside, but he's played most of his snaps in the slot. So that's a knock against him being taken by the Cowboys. Applied Literature, welcome to the chat. Says, you never have to overthink the Ohio State receivers in the slot. It's true. What are you thinking about when you think about Ohio State in the draft? Receivers. I mean, When has a team whiffed on an Ohio? When's the last time a team has whiffed on an Ohio State receiver? I mean, Chris Olave, hit, home run. Garrett Wilson, home run. Egbuka, another great receiver in that long line of Ohio State receivers. Teams trust that. Teams trust that brand. And Egbuka looks like just another strong add to any team. I don't know. I mean to move him up in my Dynasty Top 250. That interview process, him and him winning that go a long way in the draft. Applied Literature with Matt Harmon suggested Egbuka could go down the Jefferson track and switch from slot to outside. It's true. He's big enough to do it. I mean, and could you imagine him and CeeDee Lamb, you know, maybe even switching out, you know, playing just back and forth over the middle of the field. Just if you had a shrewd enough offensive coordinator, you could just wreak havoc, both of those guys over the middle of the field. I don't know if the Cowboys are generally shrewd enough to do that. I feel like they're always a step behind. better. Well, never for better. Usually for worse. Always for worse. Falcons have made another offseason move. They signed quarterback Easton Stick, formerly of the Chargers, former fifth-round pick, sporting an 0-4 record as a starter. He's a dual-threat quarterback. Maybe this is insurance for Kirk Cousins going somewhere else. You know, I don't know how much of insurance. I don't know what kind of insurance policy they have, adding Stick. Limuimo might be a little bit disappointed. He might frown on this one. But, you know, they're doing what they can to cover their bases with Kirk Cousins potentially going to another team. Another team taking his ridiculous contract. They always do. But yeah, that's what the Falcons have done as of yesterday. Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer again. In some NFL circles, it's believed that Jameson Williams could be traded. Talked about the possibility of Williams going somewhere else the other day. You know, maybe the Lions, they've been sniffing around at rookie receivers. They have their man in Amon-Ra St. Brown. Williams could be seen as expendable because you're going to have to pay a lot of money to keep him. He's a number one receiver. He's a number one wide receiver on another team. And they could get a lot for him, potentially. You know, Williams still has 2 years left on his contract after Detroit picks up his fifth-year option. You know, I think if they could finagle something in this draft to where they could get a high pick for one of the marquee receivers in this draft, I think they can move Williams. And I think Williams would probably be better off for it, at least for fantasy. And where would I love to see Williams go? Anywhere, really. Anywhere where we could have a Well, where he could be the potential number one receiver. Oh, man. I mean, what if he went to the Cowboys? He wouldn't be the number one receiver, but having him stretch the outside, CeeDee Lamb over the middle, that would be dynamic. I would love that for fantasy. Could see him going to Oh, man. You could see him going to Green Bay. Christian Watson done nothing but get hurt. He was supposed to be that guy. He was supposed to be that big field stretcher. And Williams is better than Watson. I don't know. I think it's unlikely that the Lions would let him go to Green Bay. But really, would love to see Williams in another uniform just to see what he could do, given full reign. Travis Etienne, also thought to be expendable for a potential draft day trade, and why not? Terrible 2024 season. 558 yards, 2 touchdowns. And this is on the heels of a 1,000-yard 2023 season. You know, you got Tank Bigsby there, breathing into his ear, most uncomfortably. And Etienne also had hamstring issues. You know, I think it might be best for him to go elsewhere, get a fresh start somewhere else. I think he'd have a better shot at fantasy relevance. Well, at least any fantasy relevance that I'd want to be a part of on a weekly basis, as things are, with Bigsby there, and Jacksonville, and a team that's already underwhelming. I mean, is that a guy you want to plug and play every week? No, you're going to have a headache every week thinking about whether you should start Travis Etienne. Somebody asked about a trade the other day in which they get him. And just the more I think about it, the less I like the idea of having Etienne on your roster and you just like getting a migraine every Sunday morning thinking about, should I put this guy in? Is he going to do enough to help me win my fantasy week or day? Yeah, let him go somewhere else. Move him. Let him have a fresh start somewhere else. I mean, the Jaguars, at least right now for me, one of those teams is just like, you don't really want any part of it. That's unfortunate. And I don't necessarily think that's going to be the way the season goes for them. But as things stand right now, they're one of those teams that, like any of the guys on the team, you're looking at that. You're not taking them high, any of them, right now in the draft. Assuming that's Goddard, it's probably getting traded this week. Could be. I mean, he and Mark Andrews seem to be on the trading block at tight end. And the thing is, I think if it does happen this week, it's probably going to happen after the draft. It's going to happen after TMC, what they get at tight end. And I think it's probably going to be a tight end needy team that doesn't happen to get a marquee tight end in the draft. Could be the Colts. The Colts are reportedly looking for a three-down tight end. Colts GM Chris Ballard said the team is seeking an every-down tight end. Seems like they've been seeking that for years. He said, that's, to me, the hard one to find. Ballard said of a three-down tight end. To be able to play on all three downs, to be able to be functional in the run game, to where you don't necessarily know it's always a pass when he's in the game, and then be able to finish and make plays at critical times and have him give the quarterback an option in the middle of the field. That's what everybody wanted tight end. So I think if the Colts don't come away with one of the marquee tight ends in the draft, maybe they take a sniff at Dallas Goedert or Mark Andrews. It would make sense for what they want. And the Colts haven't had it. And I do think that if the Colts did have a more stable tight end who was a good pass catcher but also blocked, that could do wonders for an Anthony Richardson. Somebody could block for him, but somebody who could be a safety blanket over the middle of the field. Could help him out with his intermediate inaccuracy. A big target. A lot of range. Goddard could be that guy. But yeah, I don't think we'll know until after the draft. Harry Snowman adding, I could see Casey trading for a veteran tight end. Yeah, I could see Casey adding anything. Casey's one of those teams where they zig when everyone else zags, and you know, and that's why they're successful. Andy Reid, as much of my as I'm aligning him for his potato chip penchant and body, is a genius. NFL mind. Yeah, Casey could do anything, and it would probably work out for him, to be honest. Someone else looking to take a tight end in the draft, potentially. The Falcons. The Athletics' Josh Kendall believes it wouldn't be surprising if the Falcons took a tight end before day two ended. This is in context of a mock draft where Kendall paired Mason Taylor with the Falcons. You know, Kyle Pitts, what a waste. probably one of the more just like befuddling players in the NFL. Just so much upside. But just can't put it together on the field for any length of time. Don't know what's going on there. I don't know if it's his head. I don't know if it's just been inconsistency at the quarterback position. But he's one of these guys who just will disappear for weeks of a season, pop his head up, you know, have a decent game or two, and then disappear again. And the Falcons can't have that in their tight end. With a young quarterback like Penix, you bring in along, you need a reliable tight end. And I don't think Pitts is that guy. Maybe you move him somewhere else. Maybe you take him somewhere else where there's already a good, stable tight end presence, and you can just stretch the field with him, have him being more of a situational kind of player, and that would work out for him. But he can't be your everyday down tight end if you're the Falcons with a young Penix. That would hamstring him. Applied Literature isn't giving up, though. He's not giving up on pitch yet. Never forget, Njoku took 7 years to be relevant and still hasn't produced like Pitts did his rookie year. And Njoku, I think he's a different animal. I mean, the quarterback situation in Cleveland had been abysmal for most of Njoku's career. To me, they're different players. But like I said, I don't think Pitts is necessarily done. I just don't think he's a great match for the Falcons and what they need. I think you take him somewhere else, like I said, where they already have a tight end. Have him be their move tight end. Have him be like the guy who catches passes. You know, have maybe something set, you know, resembling a Hernandez Gronk situation to where he can be more of a receiver. Doesn't have to block. Doesn't have to have that responsibility. And I think maybe that could work out for him. But the thing is, we're talking about fantasy here. You can't, okay, Applied Literature, you're not giving up on Pitts, but you're not drafting him either, are you? You are not leaving him to take the reins of your tight end position on your roster. You're not doing it. I don't know anyone who's doing that. You know, so like, you can believe in him. Believe he'll have success, but he's going to do it on the bench. You're not going to risk that on a weekly basis. And the thing is, for fantasy, we need a guy you can risk playing on a weekly basis. And hopefully the Falcons add that into the draft. We hope you use us on a weekly basis throughout the season. We hope we could be the team, the players you can rely on a weekly basis throughout your fantasy season and in the off season. We're here for that too. That's one of the main reasons we're here, to get you through the off season, to let you know those young players who are going to enter the league and potentially be the guys that you can play on a weekly basis. That's what we do here at Roster Watch. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Alex and Cody. This has been The Trash Man. On behalf of RosterWatch.com, be ready.